Welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to the Made Remarkable podcast hosted by Kelly Wynn. In today's episode, Kelly is talking with the remarkable Troop Di Cargini to discuss the intricate balance of creating a sustainable creative business. Troop Di shares her journey of transitioning from live launches and memberships to focusing on building evergreen passive income while fully rooting herself in her creative identity. Troop Di and Kelly share their mutual desire to steer clear of traditional, hustle-based, high-profit offers in favor of a gentler, sustainable approach to running a creative business. Check out the show notes and transcripts for more information about Troop Di, exclusive promotional offers, and any special links mentioned during the episode. Kelly loves connecting with listeners, so don't be shy. Reach out on social media, and together let's build a community that celebrates the remarkable. If you want to be notified every time a new episode hits the airwaves, just hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining us today, and always remember, you are made remarkable, destined to achieve the unimaginable. Now, let's get to the good part. Introducing Kelly Wynn and Troop Di Cargini.
Well, hello. I'm Kelly Wynn, artist, author, mentor, fiercely independent mother and wife, and the founder of a multiple six-figure creative business. And I love my life, but I've been where you're at. I was slogging away at this art business thing for more than a decade, but once I finally connected with my true calling, unlocked the magic of marketing, and built a system that could scale, well, I realized I could make an impact and make a substantial income. I'm finally running a business that I love, and it makes all the difference in the world. My biggest dream is to help you do the same. Let this podcast be the catalyst to your biggest success. You already have it in you because you are made remarkable. Well, I have Troop Di here with me on the podcast, and we've been talking for a half hour already on all kinds of juicy stuff. And we finally said, we better turn the recording on because you're missing out on some fun conversation. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So we go back quite a while, though this is the very first time we have met on camera and actually had a conversation other than the DMs. We go all the way back to when I launched my membership in 2018. You were one of the very first guests in True Colors.
I remember that. And I remember recording the class for your membership when we had just moved into a new house. And I didn't even have any furniture in there. I just got a table in there and got my camera gear. And I filmed that class for you. And that is probably why it was so echoey, because I literally had no furniture in there. And it's funny that we're talking about this as I'm sitting, just recently moved in my new place in Cochrane near Calgary in Alberta. So yeah, it brings back a lot of memories.
Yes, I loved it. And it was really fun to be able to highlight your watercolor skills. And I always oohed and aahed over all your wedding photos, jealously thinking, one of these days I'll make it to India. But now you're not even there. You're in Canada. So we have walked a very, very similar path. And that's the reason why I'm like, okay, we just better turn on the recording, because you and I have both had a membership. We've both been, and I'm putting quotes here, coaches. We've both, or what we prefer to use is mentors or business consultants, because of the coaching industry and how kind of backwards and upside down it's turned out to. We've both quit memberships. We both have like our side projects and just trying to navigate all of it. It's so amazing that we can find success through all of it, and yet at the same time, stumbling. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship as a creative businesswoman.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this conversation is going to be for all the multi-passionates out there whose hearts are on fire with so many things that you want to do. And so Kelly and I are just like you. So let our hindsight be your foresight.
Yeah.
And then you can learn from all of the many stumbling mistakes we made and all the profound lessons that we've learned.
And there have been so many. And yet, despite all of that, I don't want anyone to think that we aren't completely grateful and just so thankful for our communities that we've built, the experiences we've had. I wouldn't undo anything that I've done, because I wouldn't be who I am now without having that experience. However, I
Absolutely.
think Tripti and I would both like to warn you, don't jump into creating a membership before you're ready.
Yeah, big flashy warning right at the beginning of the
Right at
podcast.
the beginning of the podcast. It's not that the membership model sucks. It sucks if you're not sure what you're doing. But
Yeah.
once you figure it out, then maybe in the future it's worthwhile. But you and I both started with the very first thing that we put out was a membership model.
Oh my God, the damage it did.
The damage.
Ah, the long-term damage it did, though. My goodness. But yes, I would say the membership model is not bad. It's just that it's of all of the business models that I've tried in my creative career, the membership model is the most intense. Because yes, everybody gets like, really hypnotized by the, oh, you're gonna get like a monthly recurring revenue. Yes, awesome, great. Monthly recurring revenue is fabulous. I've experienced this for 2.5 years. But let me tell you, along with the monthly recurring revenue, there's also the monthly recurring energy that you're gonna have to put in. Even if you batch create all of your stuff, it's just a lot. I would not dream of doing it by myself. I don't think I've ever done it by myself because my amazing husband and business partner, Nahush, he was there with me right from the very beginning to help me create it, launch it, and everything. And even then, even in my first launch, I just felt, oh my goodness, just the two of us, it's just so less. We definitely need more hands on the deck. So, yeah, this is the one model that I would say I would even consider memberships maybe 7, 8 years into the business. Having tried everything, having said all the other components, a membership would be like the last thing that I would ever add
Right. When
to my
you've
business.
built an audience big enough to sustain it as part of it, even though you and I both had a pretty good audience size, memberships when you've got thousands of members are amazing because then you definitely have the revenue coming in and then you can afford to hire the right help, et cetera, et cetera. But at a few hundred or even a few dozen, you're working continuously and tirelessly trying to get ahead. And I just find personally, I find that, like you, a really hard model to sustain if you're not ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would not do it as a newbie person who is just starting out with teaching online. When I started my membership, I wasn't even a newbie. Like I'd been a Skillshare top teacher for 2 years, and I had a lot of experience with filming online classes, with teaching. So it wasn't even like I was a novice, but still, oh my goodness.
Well, let's talk about those early years. I remember you doing Skillshare, which was part of the reason why I was like, oh, well, she has experience with teaching. So that's one of the reasons why I invited you in. Plus, you had been really highly active with Color Crush Creative. In some ways, you and I were both talking about those like fun, innocent years before you actually became a real full-fledged business, tirelessly working. It was like, it's play, it's fun. And then somehow, if the business takes over and you don't have time for play and fun anymore, it's just, whew. So let's go back
No.
to those early years. What was it that was so magical about those first, experiences in making lessons for other people?
What was so magical about that time was I was not a business savvy person who knew the how of everything. I was just an artist who had just discovered watercolors a couple year prior to teaching, and everything that I created, right? Every online class that I put out, every piece of content that I created, it never, my brain never labeled it as, oh, business, leads, lead magnets, email system, all these freaking formal terms that we use now. My brain just didn't identify it like that. So everything that I created in my business was born out of just pure creative play. There weren't any like huge business plans, nothing like that. Everything was just so chill. I was doing launches before even I knew that that was what is called as launches.
Right.
But because I didn't know that it's like a launch, I just did it so playfully. I go back and I look at my post and I was like, dang, this girl was so fucking good at doing launches. But so that was what was so great about it. Sometimes I wish I could do like an eternal sunshine of the spotless mind, kind of
Yeah.
erasing my brain of all of these terms that I came to learn about the internet marketing and all of this stuff in 2020. And I really wish I could just go back to 2019, that beautiful golden year when I was teaching international workshops. I was dropping new Skillshare classes every month. So technically I was on a membership model, but it wasn't like, I was 100% committed to always putting out the content month after month. And I was doing just a lot of really fun things. Content was fun because I didn't think of it as content. It was just, oh, I made a painting today and I have a few thoughts that I really want to share with my people. And I just did it. It was so carefree at that time. And then once I entered in 2020, in the pandemic, when my Blue Pine Arts product business got shut down, and then I had to think about, okay, what do we do with the online classes? And then I started the whole membership thing, and I came to know about so many business coaches. I got convinced by them that the way that I'm doing is not right, it's all broken, which I agree. I mean, it's not like I had a really good email list, I didn't know about any of these things. I agree that knowing about all these things and doing them the right way would have helped my business. But I don't know, it's just that repetitive messaging that they have that convinces us that we're just doing something wrong. But if we just did things their way, then we would just make endless money. I think
Yeah,
that
that's a
just
big
messed my
conversation
mind.
here, right? Is how the coaching industry can really turn upside down a creative business because it's not really designed for how we do business.
And you know what? It's taken me, I feel only since January of 2024 have I been able to, I've succeeded in unbrainwashing myself from all of the things that I absorbed from the internet marketing and the coaching world. I just spent so much time and effort in deprogramming myself. And now I feel all that creative play has come back, and I'm like super excited for all the things that are going to be born out of that this year and onwards.
Well, I'm pretty sure your audience is really thrilled too to see Troop D making art again.
Oh my gosh. Like, it was such a lovely welcoming back that they gave me when I just was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to creating art full time, and then I'll do the coaching thing on the side. People celebrated. And I just am so touched because this creative community, man, it's the most precious thing. And I've just, recommitted myself to this community,
Yeah, I know what you mean because it's not like everything else. When you hear about other communities and the nastiness and the difficult customers, and I never really had, I mean, I'm not saying it was always perfect, but generally speaking, I didn't really have those kinds of problems. Like I just found that there was just all, it's always been so supportive, so much love. And so I just knew that we as the people who are kind of leading in the industry by creating courses, creating programs, doing coaching or mentorship, we have to do it differently. The some of the manipulative tactics that we've been learning, and I don't know how many people who are listening have ventured out to learn from the big coaching gurus, the business gurus, like how they became, famous. Now they're celebrity business owners. Like, I get it. They accomplished a lot. And I'm not actually trying to say they're wrong or they're bad, but there are harmful things that we learn that keep us from actually building our business our own way.
Because I'll tell you what, I think building a creative business is actually one of the most fun and easiest ways to build a business compared to building a business in other industries. And you just got to be careful. You just have to be very protective of it, especially when you're learning from these big box mentors, the big celebrity names or whatever, because all of their stuff is so generalized, which makes sense for other industries. But then in my experience, I found out that, oh man, damn, this doesn't fit for the creative industry. That doesn't fit for the creative industry. And so a lot of my work with my business consultancy clients is about helping them sift through what are the things, the simple things that they can take and still keep that creative play and that sacred creative practice intact. Because I know the cost of losing all of that and how hard it is to find your way back, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of in the middle of that myself because running a business is very creative and but it takes so much time and energy. So if you don't protect your
Yeah.
creativity, it definitely that time gets sucked away from you so quickly. You're a coach as well, and you spent all of last year mostly talking about that on your social media, especially how we show up energetically to create the kind of life that we want. And I loved your messaging. However, after a pivot, you've pivoted back in a lot of ways because it was taking something away from you, which you say is your creativity and actually showing up as an artist.
I mean, the pivot to teaching holistic manifestation was, I just felt so called to do that. I still feel called to do that. And the reason why I felt called to do that is because I saw that in the traditional coaching and manifestation methods, so much of that actually shames people into changing themselves. And I wanted to take an unshamed approach because I know that after suffering from a lifelong shaming from many different aspects in my life growing up, watercolors, when I just started trying them out as an adult, was the only thing that I tried without any self-shame or somebody else shaming me to change, to get better. That was the first and only thing that I have done without anybody shaming me to try to get better at painting with watercolors. And that was so healing to me and my inner child. I saw that manifestation. Like, I just don't like what the Western world has done with this word, but it's actually a way of life, which I unconsciously learned from watercolors. Like, I was doing all of the manifestation and stuff before I formally learned about all these spiritual principles in 2020. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was doing it. I was doing it my way. I was doing it unconsciously. And I was doing it so playfully. And my business was succeeding like crazy. I was feeling so fulfilled. Everything was working, right? So that is what I wanted to help people. I wanted to help them unshame from all of these toxic shaming tactics and the fear mongering and the pain point based tactics that the coaching industry generally uses to shame you into changing and becoming a quote unquote better person. And I wanted to show people how they can actually embrace that messy humanity that we all have
Oh, I love
and
that.
still create the life that you've always dreamed of, because that's exactly how my life has unfolded with art. But because it took so much time and effort, I set out to create my course called Powerful Practical Manifestation. I thought it would take like 3 months max to do it. It ended up taking a year and a half. And I spent all of that time away from my painting practice. And it injured me, you know. I suffered so many injuries with that. I felt so hollow. And eventually I felt disconnected from this beautiful work itself because that deeper well of creativity was not there. And so that is why I was like, oh my goodness, what are we doing over here? Yes, I want to teach manifestation, but not by sacrificing my creative practice. I want to teach manifestation the way I learned it through watercolors, you know?
I love it.
And how can I do that? By removing the artist Tripti from the equation. And so to set my mind straight, I just put a pause on it. And I've pivoted back to being a full-time artist first. And I realized that, oh my goodness, my core identity must always be that of an artist, of a playful creative. And from this place, you know, once I've rearranged some things in my business and like gotten this message out, then I want to see how am I going to teach manifestation differently. I don't have the answers yet. I'm still in the process of it. But I know because I trust the universe. I trust this process because I've done it in the past. It's worked out. And right now I'm surrendering. And all of these are manifestation practices. Like I'm
Well,
manifesting right now.
if only there was a different word for manifestation, because it
I
does
know.
seem like the Western world has perverted the purpose of it. Because manifestation isn't about, I want a Lexus, a Lamborghini, I'm going to manifest it in just these like physical things. It's about who you are and how you live and how you move through the world. And then in what you're being, you're attracting more like it. And we forget that that's just, you know, so much is out of our control, right?
But I know. Yeah, go on.
What's in our control is how we react and show up to everything.
Yeah.
Right?
And speaking of Lexuses, I attracted a Lexus as soon as I moved from India to Canada, which I was not expecting. I didn't even know Lexus was a luxury car until my husband had to educate me. He was like, you're not realizing how big of a deal this is. Listen, this is what a Lexus means. That's what a Lexus means. And I'm like, oh. But the funny thing is, I was just living my best creative life. I was just, you know, I was on this path that, you know, I want to move to Canada to set up my business differently here, to do better things in my business and to help creatives in a different way. And the Lexus thing was just a byproduct of it. And I didn't even realize when it happened. And that is the kind of quote unquote manifestation that I'm all about and that I want to teach.
But that's what's important about that is that you didn't have your sight set on that particular
the Lexus
materialistic thing. Your sight was
exactly.
set on living this exceptional life, and in an exceptional life and living an exceptional life, exceptional things happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So many of the things, and this is where it gets tricky, right? Because the Western world makes manifestation like, oh, you got to have that thing in your mind and you have to set intentions for it. You have to program your mind for it. Yes, that is one approach. I do teach that approach, but that's just like one side of the coin, right? What I have found, the other side of the coin is you're just living your creative life. You're being authentic. You're doing the things that your heart wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're going after it. And you're just trusting that as long as I do this, the other things, the material things, they'll just fall into place. And so what has happened for me with that approach is every time the universe has delivered, it's been so much more than I could have even imagined. Like, because your human mind, it's so limited in what you can wish for, you know?
Right, exactly.
Whereas it's so much fun to just be doing your thing and then like bigger things just landing in your life and you're just being like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, that's fun.
What I love too is that you brought up the fact that in order for this life to work for us, we have to lean into who we are instead of feeling shamed that we have to become something, be better, be all you can be. Mind you, I come from having been in the army. So that whole sentiment and the self-improvement industry can leave you feeling like who you were to begin with wasn't enough. And yet
that's it.
Yeah. And that's been one of my biggest missions with Made Remarkable isn't become remarkable. It's you are made remarkable. You are already this way. Lean into who you are, those gifts. It's the reason you came here in this world in the first place. It's not like become something better of yourself. Like, I do believe we all need to always find a way of personal growth and right. I'm not saying don't do that, but to live in a place of I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I need to be better.
Yeah.
I need to have this and I need to achieve this instead. That's why I wear this shirt, boss, not bossy. I lean into the that for most of my life, I was shamed for my personality, the things that drove me, the way that I wanted to show up in this world. And yet, when I look back now, the reason why I'm able to build the business, and this is the same for you, the reason you're able to lean into your creativity, lean into the business you're building, is because you finally tap into who you are and not what you're supposed to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love your mission so much. The way you explained it to me. Yes, it absolutely makes sense. And that is what I also endorse 100% is, I mean, let me give you an example. Like I got diagnosed with ADHD in 2020 and I cannot tell you all the ways that some personal development is taught in that, oh, you gotta batch create your content for your membership for it to be successful. If you're not batch creating, if you're not like doing everything in advance, if you're not planning your whole year and getting a lead on it and doing everything in an organized, productive way, then you're wrong, right? Do it this way because this is the only way to succeed, right? And that shamed me so much
Yep.
for the kind of brain that I have. And there've been so many times where I felt, man, do I even belong in on this planet? Do I even get to live? Because I just feel so wrong. I feel like I don't belong here. Everybody is operating in a productive way, and then I'm just not able to do it because my brain is just wired differently, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I love that you show up sharing that on social media and saying, today I'm just taking a break for my nervous system to
Yeah.
recover. And you
Yeah.
share that. I don't talk about that, but believe me, I am in the same boat as you. Batch create what? You see 10 years of Instagram? That's me showing up every day, never having batch created one time in 10 years. Never. Never
Exactly.
batch create. I can't do it.
Yeah. So it's not like it's not going to be beneficial for me to write all of my quote unquote launch emails beforehand, schedule it. Yes, I understand that
Yeah.
in a way it makes my life better, but I can only do that once I have had complete acceptance and love for the way my brain is wired right now. And being compassionate in those times, day-to-day life, because all of these concepts we're talking about are abstract right now. We're talking about it on the podcast, but how it shows up in your daily life after you wake up, do you have chronic pain? How does your body feel that day? Like today, I woke up in a ton of pain. So right now I'm fine, but after recording this podcast, I'm going to take a little break because that's me having compassion to myself, So yeah, all of these things matter because the first and foremost thing that needs to happen is you have compassion for yourself in the weird way that you're configured, no matter what that is.
And
And
also just even
then,
what
yeah.
life is throwing at you. Not everybody has, you're two people working on a business with two beautiful cats, and you don't have to worry so much about raising kids or sick. I mean, maybe you do have sick parents, but you're
I have
not doing that.
nine people on my team. I have nine people on my team. I'm a child-free woman. I'm not driving kids to
Right.
school or packing lunch or whatever. I have two cats who, I mean, I don't even have dogs who I think are like so much more needier than cats. I have all this privilege that I've created for myself, and that is what allows me to be a little bit more doing things, a lot of things in my business, because a lot of people say that, oh my God, you act so quickly. You just like decide that you want to do this, and then the next moment you're done. And then they feel bad that they're not able to do it. But then I'm like, but you're a mom.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine like the amount of energy that goes through that. Like, do you have a team? So I am very privileged because of all of these other factors that allows me to show up in my business a certain way. But then how damaging would it be if I just started a coaching program or whatever, right? And I'm like, if you do these things, then you can be successful in my business just as me.
But we are not.
That is
Everyone's
impossible.
different.
That is shaming somebody else. That would be me shaming as a child-free woman who has a lot of time on my hand. That would be me subtly shaming women with children. And then when they don't get results, then they're probably going to think that, oh, I probably didn't do it right. Or maybe I'm not as good enough as Shruti. Do you see how damaging it
Yeah,
can be?
it's very, and that's one of the main reasons why I hesitated a long time before I decided, do I want to help, or we can use the word coach, but I like to use the word mentor other people in their business. And I just
Yeah.
kept watching these practices at all costs. Anyone who wants to come on in, I don't care
Yeah.
if you're ready for this or not, if you have a following or not, if you have an expertise or not, if you even have the time or not, come on in, join my program. And I know that everybody has their own choice to make, whether they're going to sign
Yeah.
for a program or not. But I'm like,
Yeah.
how do I deliver this and make sure, A, I'm d delivering it in a way that works for the creative person? Because
Yeah.
our industry is different. than all the other industries. We can't use the same kinds of tactics, if you will, that other industries would use, because we are a jocular
Absolutely.
people. We are a creative, we're expressive, and we are very close-knit too. Everyone wears their heart on the sleeve and supports each other a lot. So in order for me to go into this realm of my business, just like you're thinking about, okay, how do I continue with business mentorship or consultation without doing the same things that other people have done to us or in the industry in general? And so I did. I thought long and hard. How do I develop this in a way that will make sense to the people like you and me?
Yes, and I just love that you've chosen to do this work, because I do feel like creatives, they need help in terms of, one, helping them steer clear of all these harmful strategies that are being taught by very big names in this industry. And then two, if they have already suffered injuries with these tactics, then like helping them recover, helping them find their own way, because that's been my work. The kind of clients I work with have already tried all of those tactics and now they're burnt out. So I specifically work with burnt out creative business owners,
Oh,
but
that's good.
only who specialize, who want to, launch courses, because I do think it's the best way to make like a good passive income, but you have to be very, very careful how you're approaching it, especially after suffering a burnout, because I'm the burnout queen.
Me too. I'm kind of wondering if I've ever even gotten over it.
Oh my gosh, really?
I think there's still always a part of me that feels like I'm still trying to make up for 2020 when I had that total burnout. And part of that is because once you start and you do hire people, you can't just quit. You know, you have something that's going and you've built something, and I'm too determined to just drop it all. But that being said, I have been pivoting carefully from the membership to courses and into my business mentorship. I have taken It's 2024. I've taken like 3 years to do it. I'm not just doing it too rapidly. Just like you've taken a lot of time in each pivot and each iteration of the business, because in some ways we have to try on different hats to see what works, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I went through like a time in my business where I was like, what do I really want to do? Do I want to continue with the watercolor business, or do I want to do business consultancy? What is it do I want to do? And I'm really glad that I gave myself the time and the space to try all these different hats on, because otherwise you would never know, At least I don't have any regret in me that, oh, I wish I'd chosen that path when it was calling me. I wonder what I would have been if I had become a manifestation teacher. I don't have any of those wonderings now, but what I do have is a lot of experience and knowledge that I've integrated into my body and nervous system that really helps me a lot now in making aligned decisions, but that only comes with practice. So I do want to say, like, since we've been talking about burnout, I think it took me also around 4 years to kind of come out of it. And it has been a very slow process. So those of you who think it's not worth investing in a business coach or a mentor or a consultant, I would suggest you think about the cost of burnout. Because it's not just that you burn out and then you're like, oh, I guess I burnt out, and then you've taken a month's break from Instagram and from work and you're back like a spring chicken. It's not like that. This is a very serious injury to your nervous system, to your mind, and to your body that just takes years and years to recover.
It makes you
So,
second guess every decision you're going to make because you're
exactly.
worried that you're going to do it again. It makes you second guess everyone that you want to work with because will I have the capacity to work with this person? Will there be friction? Will I have to drop the ball because I just can't hold that space? Like there's so many things that are still build in my head. And yet I am at a point now where I'm feeling a lot more comfortable. But part of that was learning how to say no. Learning to say, hey, this is a great opportunity, but I'm going to have to say no because I've finally learned what my capacity is.
So that takes time.
Yeah.
I do want to say that time and a lot more money than you would be investing in a business coach, I think.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
A
That's
lot
what
more money.
I'm too. I think what you're talking about here is the difference between I love support. I have always, like, since I finally realized how helpful having a coach can be, I have sought out business coaches and mentors. I have taken very thoughtfully taken certain courses and they've been helpful. But there have been others where I've been like traumatized by the experience. We've talked about that before. Some of the practices out there aren't great. But those people who can help you take a look into how you're doing things, help you simplify, help you get systems in place, help you when you're like spinning your wheels and you're like, why am I making no money? I'm working my tail off. I'm working 60, 80 hours a week and I'm still not making money. And a lot of that has to do with finding someone who can actually keep you accountable, but also understand who you are and the way you operate. Really, because that's one of
And
the
your capacity.
things. Exactly. And so when I developed the league, though it is meant for people who have ambitions to make good money, I wouldn't ever recommend hiring a coach or joining a program if you don't care about making an income. But if you want to, if you've started a business and you want to stop losing money over it, because honestly, that's what happens. If you start a business and you don't know what you're doing, you're just working really hard for nothing. Right. So when you get the help, it really does compact that time. You can learn certain skills that are really important. Like you said, you started off having fun, you were doing well, you were launching without knowing what a launch was. But it's true that while there was struggles with learning over the next 4 years after that, but there were benefits in the things like learning how to build a proper email list so that you always have them.
You just have to find the right mentor, because once I was kind of injured by all these common courses and stuff, which just taught me these generic business practices that really hurt my creative side and burnt me out, then I had to specifically seek out a certain coach who, over the course of a whole year, she helped me become more discerning, you know? And that's when I learned all of the skills to be like, okay, how to spot BS
How to spot
in
BS.
their copywriting, how to spot, like, how to know what my business needs, and to have that kind of scientist hat on when you're looking at the business, but while also maintaining the soul and the heart of your business. There's all these different sides.
There's a dark side and there's a light side to it. There is a dichotomy of goodness in the coaching industry and there's problematic stuff. So, I mean, like briefly, let's just talk about some of the things I think are problematic are when they get you to take action before you're ready. And a lot of these programs want you to go out there and start monetizing immediately because they want you to feel like you've already made your money back and that you're going to be successful. But what happens is you've started something that you don't know how to finish, and then it becomes overwhelming and incredibly challenging.
That's exactly what happened with me with my membership.
Right.
And I would also say it also applies to pre-selling courses. You know, you can pre-sell courses. That's a great idea, provided you're well supported. It's not a bad strategy. But if you don't know what you're doing, and all these big names are saying, well, just like come to my free workshop and I'll help you launch your membership or your course, and we'll just pre-sell the whole thing, we'll get people to sign up. That feels so thrilling in the moment that, oh my goodness, I haven't even created anything and people are giving me money. It makes you
Oh my
feel
gosh.
invincible. It gives you a high that is incomparable. I'll just say it, I admit it, it feels fucking fantastic. But
And then what
then, once
happens?
the high wears off, the consequences
Ooh.
try to hit. And when reality hits, that's when you know that you've committed yourself to a project that you have no idea. Like you said, you don't know how to commit to it, you don't know how to finish it. And a membership, it doesn't even end. It took me a year and a half to even figure out how to close my membership. I started it, but for the life of me, I just could not think, how do I turn it off? How do I stop this train that's just been running? There are no brakes on this. How am I to stop this? You know,
No end
it
in
was
sight.
wild. It was wild.
It is wild. And so one thing that I have adjusted a little bit, I agree with you. The whole when I see pre-sell it and then create it afterwards, and I'm like, no, that sounds like hell to me. Like if you pre-sell, you are on the hook. And if anything happens, it's like I just big no-go in the art industry, especially. I say, honestly, what I'm encouraging people to do more now is get people, do a little soft launch to the audience that you have and ask them to come and test it live. So you don't have to pre-record anything. You don't have to create some big fancy anything. You test it out and say, is this a viable idea? We have Zoom. Put your Zoom camera on and paint for them. Put your Zoom camera on and coach for them. Put the Zoom camera on and take them for a walk through the park and explain how you could do plein air painting, right? Test it out with a small group first. And what you're doing is validating your idea without the pressure that you have to complete some perfect project. Because I have sold projects, I have sold courses that weren't even finished yet. And all you're doing is crying late at night, going, I have to record another thing. I never want to be in that place again. I would much rather test my ideas and then work from that information to build something that the audience actually wants.
I've just been so fortunate that when I pre-sold my courses, because this strategy was taught to me, and then I found out that oh damn, it's not getting over in like 3 months, you know. But my people have been super kind and generous in waiting for all of this. But this is just, it just goes to show how big of a heart my community has. But I really don't think this is something that I want to be doing, like, you know, in the future. I'll find a way, just like you said, you know, it's a really good idea to not really pre-sell it, but also like live test it. That's a great way to do it. But you have to find out a way to do it in a way that works. And also be very upfront with the people in your community saying that, hey, I also don't know how long this is going to take me. This is all new for me as well. So I'm gonna go and then find out, and I'll keep you updated. And I think what's really helped with me is I've been very transparent and authentic in my communication with my students. I've shared vulnerably why I have not been able to create, and most of the causes were always like chronic pain issues related anyway. So yeah, it's a very difficult path to tread.
But that's the beauty of building a trusting and open community is that they see you as human and not something other than them. And that's what I've always wanted is to be among the people, not above the people.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And
Because,
that happens when you are transparent and honest and talking about what's really happening in your life. And you're generous with what you can give. And that's how I see you, Troop D, all the time, showing up very vulnerable and open and honest. And I think that that's something, that's the reason why people are drawn to you is because that they feel they know you and that you're not swaying them in the wrong way. As we've talked about some of these other people, it's like you're bringing them along for the journey with you.
I think the key to that is I realized that kind of I did it unconsciously for a long time, and then I realized, oh, this is why things have been really successful in my business and why I've like kept my community with me in all the different pivots I've done. And the key is to never remove the human from the business. Never remove the human. Like, I don't want to be like some big fancy branded, you know, big shiny perfectionist, a person that you just put on a pedestal and you adore. No, I am just as messy as you are. My house, I have like unfolded laundry pile the size of Mount Everest, which makes me very nervous to tackle. I don't know how I'm gonna do it. It's been almost a month since I moved into my new place. Half of my stuff is still unpacked. Some days I just have a lot of pain because I'm on Invisalign and all of this stuff right now, and I've got like jaw issues going on. So I'm in a shit ton of pain a lot of the time, you know? But I am doing my best. Some days my best is just 30% of my energy. Some days it's 100%. But I always want to show people the human behind all of this. Because it's when you remove the human from the business and you start preaching from that high place, that's when the shaming begins. That's when, you know.
Yes, exactly. How do you make decisions now moving forward? Because we've talked about this and I talk about it often, like, yes, as creatives, we're always going to be multi-passionate, but we don't have infinite energy. So we have to pick and choose how we're going to move forward and focus our business. And you've made a little bit of a pivot too. You're not abandoning your practical manifestation course, still there, and it's like not the highlight anymore. You're
Yeah.
come back to your original creativity. You just
Yeah.
released a gorgeous art course all about large watercolor painting. And it's
Yes, which is
beautiful.
love.
And you're about to completely rework and rebrand Blue Pine Arts and put everything under one umbrella, which again, we've walked so many paths. Same thing with me putting everything under Color Crush Creative and allowing it to have its own entity that I'm still involved with. I'm still the human
Yeah.
behind it, even as
Yeah.
my own personal brand grows in its own direction and allows some space to breathe and be who I am.
Yeah. So your question was, how do I make the decisions for
How are
this?
you making decisions now? Like, when there are so many opportunities, so many ideas, how are you like
Yeah.
learning what to let go of and what to move forward with?
That's a really good question, actually. One thing that I've learned, I think now it's been 6.5 years of me being in business now. I have learned that not every exciting idea is meant to be worked upon right now, right now. Because a lot of this coaching and online industry creates this sense of urgency that it's now or never. You have to act on this idea now or you're going to miss the train. And I had that perpetual anxiety of, oh my God, I'm not hitting the iron when it's hot. I'm going to miss my opportunity and all of these things. But I realized that. Well, have your bank of ideas because you're a multi-passionate, you're going to have a lot of ideas, but then do things one by one, step by step, and focus on one thing at a time. Because
Yes.
for a long time, I split my focus between teaching manifestation, doing business consultancy, and then running an art supplies business, and then teaching online. Oh my goodness, that was like a lot. And if you're focusing on too many things at the same time, for me, it created a fracture in my identity because I had to be different people for each of these different passions. And it was
That's
like kind of living with
it.
a split personality, kind of like a thing, you know. It was really exhausting for me to switch between personalities. And so what I have decided to do now is to focus 100% completely on my creative business, on putting out my creative offerings. I am on a mission to make everything evergreen. I don't really want to do like timed launches. You know what I mean? I don't want to run courses once a year or twice a year or things like that because I just found even that to be exhausting for me. Because if you don't notice, like half a year just goes by in a blink of an eye these days.
Right.
For me, evergreen passive income is like the thing that works for me the best after experimenting with live launches, memberships, this, that, and everything. So I'm focusing all of that. I'm focusing on building up all of the systems and processes that support students coming in all the time because I'm the kind of person who loves to market and sell all the time. I don't like short launches. I don't like doing a launch and then not talking about it for a while. So that's what I'm doing, is focusing on this. And then once I'm fully rooted in my creative identity, in my creative practice, once I have like set everything up so that I've created some space for me to think differently and teach manifestation differently. I already think differently about manifestation. I just want that empty space for me to figure out how do I teach it differently. And then once that clicks in, I just want to be done with my manifestation course. I don't want it to be like a freaking, what do you call it in the, what do these online business bros call it? The ascension pyramid, is it? Where
Yes.
you start with the low dollar offer and then they kind of like push you and sell you into a higher offer. I'm not interested in doing that.
Yeah.
I didn't even start the whole manifestation thing to make money, to be honest. I just wanted to help other people unshame because I just saw how much damage it was causing. So I just have like one offering, you know, I just have one manifestation course. If you want to learn how I do it, then that is it. It's always available for you. But I'm just going to be here doing my creative stuff and unconsciously manifesting all of these awesome things in life. Because I just want to focus on living life. You know, I just want to live a life where my priority right now is like the vision that I always see in my hypnosis when I do it every morning is I'm doing daily life things. I'm going on hikes. I'm doing all the seasonal things. I'm traveling and I'm showing up for a couple of hours to do my work. But all of the money, all of the everything just comes as a result of that. I don't need to do anything beyond, like put my life on a pause and then go on like this huge launch mode and then like be burnt out by the end. I don't want to do that. And so my focus now is to focus on one thing, get it done, take my time, just really, really take my time and then layer on the next thing. And I've also kind of taken off all those, $1 million goals. I don't want a $1 million launch. I don't want to, if it happens, it happens.
Right.
But for me, it's like, I just want a little more than enough for me to live the life that I want to live. I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't want to be a billionaire. Being a billionaire thing is just like so icky in my mind. Because there's no way for you to be a billionaire in this world without stepping on a lot of people and without, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
Hurting a lot.
That's okay. My kids have always said there are no good billionaires in this world because what it takes to get there. I'm like, but. And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, fine. I listen to you, but I have no desire to be a billionaire. I don't have any problem with if the $1 million mark happens, but I'm not willing to sacrifice the whole rest of my being
Yes.
in order to do that.
Yes.
And what the industry doesn't tell you is to get there, you spend a lot of money to get to that mark. So your profit margin isn't really that big. And
Exactly.
When you see people who are like, I made $1 million this year. It's like, and you spent $750,000 to do that. So
exactly.
Exactly. Unless there's a space, you know, to do it with ease. I'm an anti-hustle person, which is why I design my programs. I have no offer ladders or pyramids at all that I teach because it doesn't work like that. And it doesn't work like that for creatives. We built it more organically than how the rest of these industries teach it.
Yeah.
So I really do work hard at breaking down and dismantling what we learn on the bigger scale for business, which I, you know, some of the stuff I've found very valuable. I understand the psychology of communication a lot better than I used to. I understand how important it is to regularly, like you said, nurture and communicate with your community and transparently. But I also look at all these different ways that people do things. And I'm like, that's not sustainable for the most of us. It's also not realistic how you would run a creative business. And so I've broken that all down to just a much gentler way, but still incredibly effective. That's
I just love that because I think all this work that you've done is heroic. Because let me tell you, to deprogram ourselves from this industry and to take all the bits and pieces that do work and then remove the stuff that doesn't work, that's what I did for my manifestation course.
Right.
It took me a year and a half to really, really produce that work. Okay, it takes a lot of time and energy to do this. And so props to you for doing that because that sounds like exhausting to me. Like I wanted to help business owners, but then I thought, man, just for me to like create this whole thing, it's just going to take a lot of energy. I just don't have that in me now.
It does. And in full transparency, I'm not making much art right now. I'm okay with that because it is such a creative process. To pull all of this, everything that I've learned, and then pull everything out of me and put it together in a way that actually makes sense for my students. Like to me, it's a very exciting, but it is, I am now on year three of working through how did I do what I did? How can I simplify it? And how can I make it work very authentically for my students so that they don't feel like they're in a bro marketing course, because that's not what we are.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love the work that you're doing. This is God's work, honestly.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited about it. I'm really, really, really happy that I finally talked to you because I feel like we have just been walking the same path, only s just a little bit on different times. But we've
Yeah.
both been through very similar processes to finally come back to, and the word that I really heard you say, trying to do too many things, all these different parts, fractured you. Because it's
Yes.
very hard. It does take a different energy or personality to show up for different
Yeah.
types of projects. And when things are
Yeah.
that disparate from each other, it's very hard to keep going without totally burning out again. And so I love that you're like, I'm just going to get this down so that it's like the base most honest, open, creative process I can do with Blue Pine
Yeah.
Arts and move forward with that. And then I have this other layer I can put in as I have the space and the ability to, without forcing it, without
Yeah.
having to do these like crazy song and dance for social media, et cetera, et cetera. It's like
Yeah.
there is a way to do it, but I do believe that when we are multi-passionate and we try to act on all of our passions at one time, that's when we're most likely going to burn out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is the wisdom from my amazing husband. He is just such a good advisor to me. And he kept telling me all these years, and I didn't listen to him. And
We have
I
that
think,
in
like, I
common too.
finally, through fucking around and finding out, I learned the lesson. And these days, I'm just like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for keeping me on path. And, like, that's really helped me. His counseling actually helps me a lot. And so I feel like finally, in the sixth year of my business, I've settled into a rhythm where I know exactly what I want to do now and how I want to do it. I know how I want to set my systems up and the back end to support that as well. And I just am very comfortable at walking at a slower pace now, I don't
Yes.
want to, like, run and rush, because that's what everybody conditioned me to do, is like, you have to run really fast. But yeah, but also I would say that to anybody who is listening, where if you're like, oh, but I'm not in that place, I don't really know what my pace is, and she's already there, she's already figured out. I only figured it out in December of 2023. Let me just say that. It's just been 4 months, 5 months of me figuring this out, and I don't think I would have been able to figure this out had I not taken all those detours and done all those
Yep.
experiments. So I just want to say, like, don't make business this, like, hard thing that you just have to figure it out. There is no alternative to experience. So you are going to make some mistakes. You're probably going to burn out, because it's just, I'm an anti-burnout coach, and I honestly don't think that the first 1 or 2 years of your business, you're just going to be like chilling and just, doing the minimal amount of work, and then the
Exactly.
money is coming in, right? The first 2 years, you're going to have to put work in. I don't think, I've tried to think of it. Can I help somebody do the work? Could I have done it differently? But no, I had to work a lot of hours in the first 2 years of my business for me to get where I wanted, for me to get to a place where I could be, I'll just take it chill a little bit, So
Sure.
I just wanted to be very honest, because I also don't want business owners to have the expectation that, oh, like, I'm worthy of a slower pace of life, so I should absolutely be putting in only 2 hours of work in my business a day. Just being
Yeah, but that
transparent.
makes it an expensive hobby.
I know. So you just gotta, like, yeah, you
Have to
gotta
decide.
know when to put in the work, because there's a difference. I always say this: there's a difference between working hard and hard work.
Yes.
Never be proud of hard work. Hard work is what we've been conditioned with from us by our society. Work hard and you will succeed. It's like, you just they that's the hustle part of it, right? But working hard is You, the, I don't think you can, like, replace that. Working hard is when you're showing up for your passion. Those late nights when you're just gonna have to sit and, like, write your website copy or figure out your email list. You gotta do that. I'm doing that right now. And
Yep.
so I never want to lose touch, no matter how many millions I make. I just don't want to lose this side of me that has a good work ethic. So there is that, like you got to balance that. And at the end of the and at the end of the day, you got to know what season of life you're in. Like if you've just had a baby, or like you have like two really, really small kids, they're gonna like that's gonna take a lot of time from, you know, your day. But let's say your kids are grown up now and they have like left the nest, then wow, you have a lot more time on your hand to, you know, dedicate to
Right.
your business. So don't look at what your businesses are doing and just be like, yes, I will do exactly like them, right? Like you just need to be very discerning about where you are in your life right now and how you can make your business work, even with that limited time or energy that you might be having.
The important thing that you were saying is I don't want to delude anyone that it does take work. We, especially
Exactly,
the first
because
couple of
again,
years. Yeah.
yeah, because then I would be no different than all those internet marketing bros just saying, oh, you know, you just need to do this. You just need to dedicate these many hours and boom, you're going to have a six-figure business. You know, I
Right.
just want to be honest and transparent that it does take work. So let's not be deluded in this whole Gen Z culture of self-care that we have got going on. Absolutely take care of yourself, but just know that there are going to be sprints, right? It's not just a marathon. Sometimes you're going to have to sprint, sometimes you're going to have to rest. It's a combination of all of that.
Right. But we could work smarter and not just.
Absolutely.
But I think the biggest myth is if you build it, they will come. So many people in 2020
Yeah.
threw a course out there and said, okay, now I've made a course, where's the money? And it doesn't
Yeah.
actually work that way. It does take work to build a business and to build raving fans and to show up online. And you and I have
Yeah.
been doing that relentlessly for years and years and years now, showing up,
Yeah.
communicating, delivering the message, building the list, building the business. There's certain things that are non-negotiable, you know,
Yeah.
because if you're not showing up, I know so many people are like, I actually had someone who's like, why am I not selling any art? And I looked at her account. I'm like, well, you only posted three times this year and it's already June.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder why. It does take work, but it also can be done in the way that works best for you. It's not like we are all superhuman with a team of 10 running some big multi-million dollar company. We're
Yeah,
small
yeah.
potatoes in this big pile, but we
You
can do it.
know?
And with certain systems in place and certain, like, it doesn't have to be so complicated. You don't have to be on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and Pinterest and YouTube
Yeah.
and Reddit and all and LinkedIn and say, I have to be in all
Yes.
places. So yeah, there's going to be some coaches that are like, be omnipresent. But the truth of the matter is you can build a very sustainable business by keeping it simple. And
Yeah.
but it's the consistency in showing up. And so there is no way around that. If you're going to build a business, it's going to take some,
Yeah.
but let's make it smart work and maybe more aligned with how
Yeah.
we work ourselves. And I
Yeah.
love the fact that you just keep coming back to this. Who we are without the shame that I didn't do it the way the other people do. Oh, I've been in business for 7 years and I still haven't had a $1 million year yet. Like, let's get over that already, because that's that whole fun coaching industry that even though you and I are coaches, I say in quotes, because we try to want to differentiate ourselves. We're here to help and support and guide people
Yeah.
too. But I think you're a lot like me. I'd rather tell you flat out the honest truth of what to expect, then
Yeah.
like just gloss over the reality
Yeah. Yeah.
of
I don't
what
want to just sell the dream, you know? That's what they all teach us to do, right? Just sell the dream and people will sign up. But I'm like, yes, but like what about the dosage of reality also? That's a part of this whole thing. So what I'm really hearing you say is, yes, we have to put in that effort and the consistency in showing up, but you could be doing it. But there's a difference in, you know, doing that, knowing that all this effort is going to someplace. It
Right.
is building revenue. It is going towards building profit. It's going towards attracting the money that you need for your business and your life. There's such a practical aspect of it
Right.
versus what I did for a long time until, you know, does this whole Instagram, the social media part of it is just, I would just do it. I would just do Instagram instead of realizing that, oh my goodness, all of this effort and consistency that I'm showing up on Instagram, if I just moved it to my email list,
Right.
that would mean more sales.
Rule
That
number
means
one,
being
kill
out
it.
on Instagram, right? So that's the difference. Yes, there's effort. Yes, I'm showing up consistently, but how much of my effort is resulting in the ROI on each of the platforms? But I would say the best shortcut you can have, I mean, you are obviously you're all going to learn with your own experience, but having a coach in your pocket will help you avoid all those landmines of burnout. And you know, it the investment in a coach or a business consultant, it immediately saves you
Yeah.
in a lot more, like 10 times, 5 times that amount of money in recovering from burnout. Or just like leaving the money on the table and all of those things, you know?
Right. I know I've had this barrier people will put up because there is a whole, I mean, we could go deep into the money psychology of artists and creatives. We don't have time for all of that today, but you and I both are genuinely going, oh yeah, we know this too well. Because what happens is I'm like, here's an offer. It's a steal of a deal because everyone else charges like 30 grand for what I'm offering. And I'm only offering, it's a fraction of that, like for me to be able to help guide you through step by step for your business for a whole year. And I'll have people say, well, I can't justify it yet because I haven't made enough money. So we'll see after the next launch. And I'm like, okay, I respect that. And I would never be pushy to say, hey, you need to do this because, but I also sit there and think, but you know, what if you invested in this and that meant your next launch makes 10 times as much money because you miss all the pitfalls and you do things that actually grow your business faster with somebody who has experience. And now you and I both have experience for ourselves, but we have experience helping other people get those results. And so it's like I can see over and over again the proof in the experience is I know that I grow faster when I have somebody to see where my pitfalls are and help me through it.
I mean, my one-on-one coach who I worked with for a year, and you know, honestly, I kind of stopped offering like 3 month packages in my own coaching and consultancy business because that's just too less of a time. You know, we need like 6 months to a year. And for me as a business owner, I was always like, oh my goodness, I need somebody for a whole year so that they can guide me on how to restructure my business and how to help me think like a CEO. And that long-term commitment to one really good coach has helped my business. That year, we reached multiple six figures, you know?
Right, exactly. Same.
So that's the difference, right? So it's all about like how you think of it as, you know, I've seen like two people think of all these things as a personal loss. Like when they want to invest in a coach and they see the price of it, they think that they're losing whatever price that is for the coaching
Right.
program. Whereas for me, it was like, oh my goodness, with my coach, I know that this is like a lot for over the 1 year,
Yeah.
but in exchange for that, I can make 5 times, you know? So it all boils down to how much trust you have in yourself, right? Because like one thing that's always worked with me is like, oh, I've always trusted myself. Every time I've invested in a coach, my mindset has been, I'm investing in this coach with the intention to make 5x of that money, and I take 100% responsibility for it. So it
Right.
was that like gumption and the chutzpah that I had in
Yes.
that I'm very discerning of my investments because I know that it's an investment. I don't see it as like money being lost. I don't ever see it like, oh my God, by investing in this coach, I'm going to lose whatever amount of money, X amount of dollars. It's that I'm going to get the skills and I'm going to make sure. Communicate with the coach that, listen, I need to make this dollars back, these many dollars back. How can we do it? So when I work with my coach, I think I made 1.5 times of the money back in 1.5 months that I worked with her. Like
Yep.
immediately, right? Because I know that I'm not over here to fuck around. Because I'm really serious about like making that income in my business. And so the first thing that she and I discussed were, okay, this is our investment. How are we going to make that back in my business right now? And it's this kind of gritty, resilient approach that always helps me make the right kind of investments, right? That's why I don't hesitate when I know that this investment is going to lead me to that particular result that I want in my business. I don't hesitate. And I've trained myself to be that way, you know,
Yeah.
just do it, show up, do the work, be responsible, take 100% responsibility and make it work, you know?
Right. It's the action that I take. So even when I've invested, well, I've hired coaches one-on-one in small group, and I've loved that, but I've also paid for courses. And every time it's like I either get something or it's a dud and I learn from it being a dud. So everything is my responsibility to walk away with what I need to know and learn from it, not the person who's delivering. Although, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, was that a poor choice? No, because other people love the program. It just wasn't for me. So what did I learn from it? How do I want to do things differently for myself? So that's
I mean,
how
I
I look.
don't feel salty about all the investments in some of the courses that I invested in that led me down the wrong path for me personally. Because it's just a part of being a business owner. I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset about it. It's all just a learning opportunity. And honestly, that made me the fiery, strong-ass business owner that I am today because I just learned all those lessons. Even though it was hard, it cost me a lot, but it just gave me something for life. You know what I mean? That sets me up to help other creatives for life, right? So it's all about how impersonal you are because I know our art is so personal to us. It is literally a piece of our heart and our soul that we're putting out in the world. But at the same time, you also got to be kind of detached a little bit from this whole thing because it's just one aspect of your life. I mean, if you just keep getting hung up over every investment, then that just shows that you probably don't trust yourself, right? So it all boils down to, do you trust yourself to work with this coach to get the result that you want in your business? Because I see a lot of people entering this thing being like, oh, being all hesitating, as if it's the coach's responsibility to make it all happen, you know?
Right. And you have to take the action for yourself. Well, we can just boil this all down to our cautionary tale of jumping into a membership before you're ready.
Yes, it all boils down to that.
It's funny because you and I both said, however, as much as it was very challenging to run a membership and how we had to figure out how to shut it down for our own sanity. It doesn't mean that we would never do it again. We just know enough that we would do it differently.
Exactly. We're not demonizing anything. We're just talking about the timing of it all, you
Yes.
know? Yeah, and being very discerning about that.
Everybody has their own path to walk in this, but I definitely have to say, once you're in it and you're committed to it, there is a certain sort of amazing freedom in building a business. Yes, it's a lot of work, but it's like I did that. I created it from the ground up. And I'm supporting other people and I'm helping other people's dreams come true and I'm providing something for other people, you know, artists and creatives to learn from me, to buy the art supplies, to come to the coaching programs, to come to the retreats, whatever it is that we're It's very creative and very fulfilling to run your own business. I'm just really glad that we finally got to talk, Troopty.
Yeah, me too. We've been planning this for ages.
I know. So, for everyone, you're about to launch your Blue Pine Arts brand new website. We'll have all the links to all of that so everyone can see all the gorgeous art supplies and the courses that are available. And if you don't already know, Troopti, now spell your Instagram handle so that they can find you easily.
Yeah, it's at the rate Tripti Karjini. You'll probably find the link in the show notes and everything.
Yes.
And I am a watercolor artist who's obsessed with teaching other people how to enjoy this rather precarious medium in a flow state rather than in a constricted, frustrated state. And so I make handmade art supplies and resources for passionate watercolor artists like you. And you know, my new tagline for my new website says, for dreamers and romantics. So that's who I like create all of this for. So if you're the kind of person who just wants to play with watercolors, but in a way that doesn't make you tear out that beautiful hair of yours, then come check out Blue Pine Arts. It's bluepinearts.com, and you will find our handmade art supplies that we make lovingly in our studio in India. And you'll also find a whole bunch of my watercolor courses. My latest one being the Painting Large Watercolors course, which I believe is the only resource that is dedicated to teaching artists how to paint with watercolors on a large format. Because I don't think, I've not found anybody who teaches that. And that's my signature thing, because I sell a lot of original artworks that are huge. It allows me to charge higher fees for my artworks. And I have beautiful collectors around the world. And so, yeah, I'm just hellbent on making you enjoy watercolors rather than be frustrated by it.
I love it. Awesome. So everyone, check out Blue Pine Arts, and thank you so much for being on the podcast.